Hey everyone, this is Annie Tevlin, founder of Skin Owl Skincare and your host of Off the Record, the podcast. From years of helping people with their skin, it dawned on me that when you're talking to people about their skin, be it acne or aging, the conversation so often becomes about one's insecurities, lack of self-worth, and how to reconcile who they are while living in the skin they're in. The road to healing one's skin is not solely paved with a good face oil or eye concentrate, but with an openness that I have felt so fortunate to be on the other end of. This vulnerability motivated me to start a podcast. This podcast, one that has evolved into a magnetic epicenter of amazing humans telling their story in a truly raw and transparent way. Join me every Monday as my guests and I dive deep into universal truths by way of humor, heartache, and hope. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door. Okay, guys. I know for a fact that many of you listening today can jog your memory back to February 17th, 2020, which probably feels like 20 years ago. It was one of the last podcasts that I actually had in person, IRL, sitting down face to face with a human, and that human was the incredible Danny Beinstein. I don't know what to say about this last year other than a bunch of different, like if I was to type on a keyboard, it would just be the ASDFRT. I mean, it would be all the fucking over the place, because what has happened since the last time I sat down with this woman is, as the media likes to call it, unprecedented. It is so complex. But when I thought about how I wanted to end this year and one of the final podcasts that I would have for Off the Record, it was an immediate jump to Danny. And that is because of how I see her. I see her as spiritually sound. I see her as a voice of reason. I see her as stable and sturdy. And responsible with the craft that she that guides her life now, and the career that she has made for herself. As I said before, in January of 2020, I sat down to discuss what was in the stars for that year. Danny shared with us the tale of a childhood laced with intuition and an emotional understanding that ultimately led her to such a unique and relevant career path. My favorite part of episode 75, for those of you that would like to go back and listen, was her take on healing society's current crisis of the heart and the many ideas Danny brought to the table with concern to trusting and activating our intuition. Now, a year later, Danny is here to share with us how to make sense of what I feel is the most complex and heartstring-pulling year of all of our lives, and what is in the stars for each of us based on our individual astrological signs and also our wholeness. To jog everyone's memory, let's break down who Danny is so we don't have to waste any more time before cozying up next to her on today's proverbial couch. Danielle Beinstein is a psychological astrologer. Born and raised in NYC and an NYU grad, Danny offers a unique blend of East and West Coast sensibility, providing her clients with intuitive and pragmatic guidance as they navigate their life's journey. She graduated from University of Santa Monica's master's program in spiritual psychology in 2012 and followed with an additional year in consciousness, health, and healing in 2014. If you're not already following this legend, you can follow along with her on her website, daniellebeinstein.com, or find her Intro to Astro course here. And I'm going to put all of that in the show notes. You can also join the Cosmic Compass, which is now offering a 2.0 version. Danny's monthly astrological membership in service to growth, healing, expansion, and self-realization. Cosmic Compass offers ongoing astrological insights, new and full moon videos and journal prompts, emotional, spiritual, and emotional well-being content, and cultural commentary, how the stars are revealing themselves through the collective unconscious. I am so grateful that Danny is able to come in and talk to us today all the way from New Zealand. She, like myself, also left Los Angeles this year, and we talked a lot about what that transition was like off the record, and we're going to talk about it here today on the show. I'm just so grateful to have you here, Danny, and I feel like what we're going to unlock today is an opportunity for all of us as we close out a horrific, a painful, a complex, just a confusing year, is to, you know, my hope with this episode is to go into the year feeling just a sense of hope, you know, a curiosity, a greater understanding for what lies in the celestial and lies before all of us as we march into what will hopefully be such a healing year for all of us. So with that, I welcome Danielle and her incredible, incredible insight. Welcome, Danielle, from New Zealand to the OTR Zoom room. How are you today?
What an intro. How does one even receive an intro like that? I'm so honored to be here. Honestly, last year, it was just after Kobe's death. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
It was just after Kobe's death. And it was honestly one of the most enjoyable podcasts I'd ever been on. So I jumped at the bit to return.
I feel like that was the beginning of the beginning. You know, there were fires. There was Kobe, and then there was COVID. And it was just, you know, in listening back to that episode before, you know, obviously in preparation for this one, it was so wild to hear some of your commentary on what was going on in the world. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit before we pressed record here, but this ongoing crisis of the heart that people are so connected, but so disconnected, and people have just lost their sense of home and their centering. How do you feel now, you know, where you sit coming off of this year? How would you speak to this crisis of the heart, so to speak?
So I think in order to look at that, we have to let go of this idea that in order for, there's this idea that growth is linear. Right. And that there is this idea that, especially with the human mind, that growth is linear and that it's exponential, right? That there's not this idea that things have to fall apart in order to be reborn, or that there needs to be a contraction before an expansion. And I think a really big thing to understand is that destruction and chaos, birth new realities. And there's no time in history has there not been a kind of reset button that didn't involve some kind of destruction and chaos. And that's not me being cold or, you know, my whole thing is the heart, but there has to be this understanding that it's kind of, I liken it in many ways to several things. First, the French Revolution, which happened at the end of the 18th century, when there was this huge chasm in wealth that led to a revolution, right? That obviously upended France's monarchy and the way of kind of moving forward. So that, and then also I liken in other ways to the crash of 29, and then what happened afterwards, right? We had the New Deal. We had, this is not even getting political. This is just fact. This is just what happened, right? And if we look at the astrology of this past year, in many ways, it echoes, believe it or not, the astrology of the 1918 pandemic. So what the astrology is it filters itself through us. And so the virus has always been a way for the energy, the underlying energy, to reveal itself, right? So at least in America, and I would argue also in the UK, deep divide politically and culturally, socioeconomically, the virus exposed that even further. The virus exposed the challenges in our medical community, in how we care for our bodies, in how we relate to our health, how we relate to work, you know, this kind of obsession with work and productivity, and what happens when that comes to a halt. What happens when couples who never spend time together are forced into a small space together over a time? So the virus is very much real. And energetically, I think we're being exposed to all of these underlying issues which have been there, but which have not been getting the attention or their proper due.
Absolutely. Do you feel like it could be defined differently? I feel like at the time that we first spoke, mm-hmm. if you were to ask me, what is the crisis of the heart? To me, so much of it stemmed from social media. And then over the last year, it was social media that created such incredible change. And there will always be a side of social media, I think, that's, you know what I mean, repetitive, and we all need our breaks. And it's like, oh my gosh, whether it's political, whether it's mm-hmm. the virus, whether it's Black Lives Matter, like at a certain point, you know, you need to change the channel just for your own mental health. Yeah. But I think now, if I was to look at the crisis of the heart, I mean, I'll ask you this, how would you define that differently now? What is the crisis now versus at the beginning of 2020 when we spoke?
Believe it or not, I don't think it's any different. I don't. I think that the bottom line is that we are a culture of outrage and rather than dialogue. And the same thing still holds as I think it did a year ago, in that we are not centered in our own humanity and how we relate to others. And I just think that's become more evident now. And I think it's more in our face now. But I also think there's this idea that we are, there's this idea that there is a singular truth. And the truth is that as mortals, we don't have access to that singular truth. We each contain our own fractal of that truth. And I think the more we recognize that, the more humane we become. And I actually think, and this may be very controversial, but I think the break of religion, there's a lot of shadow in religion, but I think the breakdown of people gathering at houses of worship as a cornerstone of community has had a really profound effect on our value system. There's this great book called Seculosity that came out, I guess, in the past, I would say, year or year and a half. It's by a guy named David Zoll. And he's a young pastor. I think he's in his 30s or maybe even 40. And I think he lives in maybe Charlottesville. I think he's in Charlottesville. Anyway, it's a book about how it's not that religion has gone away. It's that we've replaced religion with brand identification, with obsession with parenting and righteousness around parenting. He literally goes through all of these aspects of society through the lens of seculosity, which is that we've lost this common connection to faith, to something bigger than ourselves. And yes, one could say, well, we have spirituality, but what I have seen over the past decade, especially in California, is the commercialization of spirituality. And I recognize I charge a fee. I realize I'm not outside of this bubble and that I contribute to it. I recognize that. But I'm also aware that there is this kind of materialism or spiritual materialism that seems to have ramped up. And it seems to be more about, again, what you own, the kind of home that you live in, than actually this kind of community-based living. And again, I say that as someone who has lived an itinerant lifestyle in many ways, but I've always sought out community wherever I've gone. To me, because I've never really belonged to a synagogue since I was little, or a church. To me, that was it's the coffee shop. Wherever I go, I find my community in a coffee shop. And it's just about that sense of community. But I think that's so important. And so when we've had the absence of that over the past year, of that gathering space, I think that we're noticing or realizing even more so how we need one another, how being in physical proximity actually opens our heart. It's the separation that keeps us in our head and keeps us in judgment. Have we ever had the experience of, you know, we know that there's kind of discordance with someone and all we need to do is pick up the phone, but then we avoid picking up the phone because we don't want to have the conversation. Yep. But then when we actually have the conversation, we bridge the gap and we find there's actually a heart-centeredness there that we're able to get to. It's that over and over again, you know, in small ways and giant ways. And so to go back to your question, I think it's still the same crisis of the heart. I think that we're just having even more separation.
Yep.
And so that's just furthering the distance.
Well, and so much of, you know, I will speak personally about this. So much of what comes with you know, in order for me to feel some kind of heart centering, it comes down to silence and time to process mm-hmm. all of that. Yeah. You know, for some reason, that has always been my mode of meditation. It's for, you know, mm-hmm. social media has given this visual to what meditation sometimes should look like or who someone spiritual should even look like. And they live in these yes. homes with sage everywhere and, you know, and just kind of, it actually looks like the glimmer filter. Like it just kind of looks like that's what spirituality looks like. And like, here I am without a bra on and sweatpants. And like, how can I attune myself to something spiritual when I feel like I'm like viscerally falling apart? And so you feel even further away from it because it doesn't feel in reach, whereas spirituality never used to be something that you pictured. It was just something that you felt, you know, and it was your own mode of transportation to get there. And so I feel like now it's there's pressure. There's pressure to feel that intuition sometimes, or there's pressure to feel spiritual when really it's just the most simple thing and intimate thing that you can do with yourself. Given the time?
I mean, I think about this all the time. It's like, I'll say to clients, like, you don't have to like go to a meditation class. Yes, it can be helpful, but you literally just, if you can get down to the ocean, if you can look at the night sky, if you can look at a mountain, if you can, you know, just take a moment to shut your eyes and go inward, that's as spiritual. You know, there's this idea, and also I think there's this lexicon and this language, and then that becomes a barrier to entry. Whereas actually, you know, having conversations in New Zealand with my partner's family, it's like they don't have the same lexicon, but the things that come out of their mouth, I'm like, it's so humbling for me because there's such a core wisdom and true faith and spirituality, but it's not couched in this... in this tribalism, in this we're in and you're out thing. And I think that it's, yeah, there's this feeling that one needs to achieve spirituality. And that is the core issue because the whole idea of spirituality is subtraction. It's letting go. It's surrendering. And, you know, there's an irony because I'm an astrologer. So people come to me because they think, oh, I'm going to get certainty about what next year is. And lo and behold, it's like, no, what we're going to look at is the core energy that you're being presented with. And what are you going to do with that? And there are certainly peaks and valleys in life. And you can't ward off the peaks and valleys. And also, one can have a core faith. But that doesn't mean that everything's going to work out the way that you wanted it to. Yep. It means that you're part of something bigger than yourself and that, you know, it's for the highest good of everyone involved.
Absolutely.
And I think that moving away from this idea of like, I'm achieving spirituality, because I work with a lot of type A's. I came from a type A world, as we talked about last time. And so I recognize within myself too, you know, this idea of achievement. Which is just the idea of the ego and superiority because it feels actually inferior.
Absolutely. And
which is separation, which is not in the heart.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, to your point that you just made, I feel like an astrologer or someone who has that kind of vision or downloading, so to speak, is in such high demand. You know, I've had a mm-hmm. lot of lives, and the lives that I have had with people who can kind of summon some type of answer or answer the questions, they'll mm-hmm. pull a card from an oracle deck. I mean, all of mm-hmm. this kind of stuff. has a greater and also renewed meaning this year. This mm-hmm. is a year where if there is so much unknown and there is so much confusion and there is so much pain and so much loss, you know, of partnership, of what it meant to enjoy living with someone, of what it meant to have a job, mm-hmm. of security, then I think we're all just, you know, grasping at any form of an answer so that we can mm-hmm. relate to it. So it's like, to your point, you know, we're not going to sit here today and break down, this is what Aries is going to experience. This is what Aquarius mm-hmm. is going to experience. And there's a reason for that. Can you explain kind of how you do these readings, so to speak, to speak to the wholeness of someone's sign?
Yeah. So the first thing that is really important to understand is that we each have a natal chart, and the natal chart is a snapshot of the sky the moment we were born. And the natal chart involves 12 houses. So they're kind of like pie slices. And each of those 12 houses, and we all have all 12 houses, represent different aspects of life. For example, the first house is our identity. The second house is what we own, our self-esteem, how we relate to income, earned income, and so on and so forth. And then there are 10 main celestial bodies. So there's the sun and the moon, which are the luminaries. And then you have Mercury, Venus, and Mars, which are the personal planets. And then you have Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. And those represent the outer planets. And those are more kind of like sweeping changes. They're slower to move around the zodiac. Jupiter is the fastest, that takes about 12 years, all the way to Pluto, which takes 248 years. So all of these moving are constantly moving. They're dynamic, right? And then when I look at a natal chart, I look at how all of this energy interplays with one another. So that reveals default patterning, certain core lessons that we're here to learn. And then there's what's happening in the sky currently. So all of those 10 celestial bodies are all constantly moving. And then it's how those affect our personal chart. So I can't just say Aries, because your Aries sun may feel quite a lot of relief with Jupiter and Saturn leaving Capricorn and moving into Aquarius. But then let's say someone has a Taurus moon and their Taurus moon is being impacted by Uranus being in Taurus, and that can feel a sense of restlessness. It can also be freedom and liberation. But these things are so layered, and that's just the sun and the moon, right? Like, so then you have these main points in the chart, which is the ascendant, the IC, which is the root, the descendant, which is the partnership point, the MC, which is the career point, also called the midheaven. So there's so many layers that I shy away from making bold pronouncements in that way. But what I can talk about is the collective and what we're experiencing as a collective. So any astrologer, I wasn't special, any astrologer would have told you that 2020 was a game changer, because on January 12th, we had a meetup of Saturn and Pluto. Saturn takes 28 and a half years to go around the zodiac, Pluto 248 years. The last time they had met up was 1982 in Libra. So they met up in January 12th of 2020 in Capricorn, which is the sign of the establishment of the order. So Pluto tends to transform. It's kind of death and rebirth. Saturn is all about a karmic lessons. So them meeting up, last time they met up in 1982, they met up in Libra. If you think about that time period, it was really a breakdown of marriage as we understood it. So that was kind of the divorce generation. So Pluto having moved into Libra, we saw that. So now this is all about the establishment and order, the hierarchy, right? So everything from Me Too to matter to even what's happening, let's say, with the monarchy in England and the kind of like pushback that's happening, even like with the coming out of the crown. Like, these things are all, they're all about how much value do these long held, these centuries held establishments, how much value do they add? So any would have said that there was a, like I said, a kind of death and rebirth, or a real look at these established norms, the educational system, like all of these things, right? The idea that Harvard and Yale are the, you know, key to success, all of that is breaking down. So on December 21st, Saturn and Jupiter, they're going to move into Aquarius. So Jupiter has been also in Capricorn for the past year. Saturn had been in Capricorn since December of 2017 with a break earlier this year. So we're going to move out of this Capricorn energy, this achievement-focused, status-obsessed, establishment, structure, focus into Aquarius, which is, I think of Aquarius as the third eye. I think of it as technology, the idea of expanding our horizons, the idea of progression. So we're really going to be looking to the future. What is this new establishment that we're going to create? And how does it relate to the collective rather than the individual? Because the Declaration of Independence was signed when Pluto was in Capricorn in 2024. Pluto will also leave Capricorn for Aquarius. Hmm. That comes on the Pluto return of the French Revolution and this idea of the haves and the have-nots. And the other thing that's coming, which astrologer I was calling, and I'm sure others were too, again, I'm not special in this, is the pushback. You already are seeing that with what's happening, 40 plus states coming out against Facebook. There's this kind of pushback against tech and technology in our life. So Aquarius rules technology, rules the collective. The paradox of Aquarius is about the individual, the uniqueness of the individual, and then concern for the collective. So that's a big shift. And then since July of 2018, every summer and start of winter, we've been dealing with these Cancer Capricorn eclipses. We've moved out of that. So in June 5th of 2020, we started the Sagittarius Gemini eclipses, which extend until December 3rd of 2021. So we just had two of those. One was on November 30th. The second was on December 14th. The follow-up to those are May 26th, June 10th, and December 3rd. Of next year. So we're moving into these eclipses. And so out of Cancer and Capricorn, which is all about security, how do I stay safe, right? And we've all been challenged with that this year, into the information, educational, exploration, multifaceted access of Gemini and Sagittarius. So you take this kind of, you take the combo of the movement into Aquarius and the Sag Gemini eclipses. And because the North Node, so the North Node tells us it's like our North Star. It's like where we're headed, right? So right now it's in Gemini. So moved out of Cancer into Gemini. So it's all about conversation, dialogue, multifaceted, right? And there's this kind of idea of like, how do we move thinking into the multidimensional thinking? And you'll start to see this show up, interestingly, in the media. Like there was a New York Times article recently in the Sunday Times about how forests are having conversations, right? And that the actual growth of forest is dependent on a conversation between fungi and the roots of the trees. And it's not just this kind of Darwinian idea of winner takes all, zero sum game. And science is moving out of that, you know, Darwinian concept. And you know, the way we relate to technology is moving out of that. There's this shift into conversation and dialogue, and to having a multifaceted approach to the world and mindset. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of shift that I see.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's something that you said that I find as you were talking, I was thinking, well, that's fascinating. It's like, you know, not to say that these big institutions and mainframes of thought weren't being broken down in years prior, but mm-hmm. I think we can agree exactly. that this last year was like a real deep dive into mm-hmm. anything that yeah. was built up. You know, some of these things were made to make us feel safe, you know, just the understanding that that's how it is and that's the way it goes. And whether we're talking about the, you know, British hierarchy or we're talking about, the white man's place in the world versus the black man's mm-hmm. place in the world, like just don't ask questions. This is just how it is. And it's going to take a really long yes. time before we can unpack that. And here we are unpacking it. So the things that made us all feel safe And by all, I'm not talking about those that were suffering through these, you know, paradigms, but the things that just were. We then shattered them and exposed them over this last year while walking the tightrope of loss and change. So it's like, in some ways, it's like, wouldn't you think that that culture and humanity would just want to, as the world was crumbling, hold tight to the media and hold tight to the things and that just were out of safety and complacency and, you know, I don't know if the word's ignorance, but just, you know, naivete. But instead, we went for the jugular in every possible way while the world was coming for our jugular, if that makes any sense.
Yes, completely. And, you know, these things, so like Pluto, for example, it moved into Capricorn in 2008. And then we had the, you know, we had the Great Recession and the Wall Street crash at that period. So this thing has been slowly building in different ways. It's just that 17 and then Jupiter joined this last year. So we had this pile up of energy to really bring all this forward. But I think, and I think also the other thing that I see happening is, you know, each generation thinks, oh, we're going to have a great awakening. Like, this is going to be the answer to everything, right? So in the 60s, it was like, no, this is going to change everything. But the truth is, and I mean this like truly, it's like the arc of justice is, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice, as MLK said. Like this idea that like we're going to wake up and then there's going to be this great awakening and everybody's going to be, you know, in their highest state of consciousness. No, because we're human and we have our own baggage and we have our own material. And so I think it's the idea of continuing to work on yourself and having empathy and compassion for others and recognizing that, as Oprah says, when you know better, you do better. People are doing the best they are capable of in whatever state they're in. And that's not to excuse behavior. It's just the reality of it, right? So I think that there is this desire when things are really challenging to kind of jump to this Pollyanna conclusion that like, oh, you know, I see this all the time with eclipses or astrological events where people are like, it's a great awakening. Yes, it's just exposing another layer of truth, but then new souls come in with their own material. And yes, we are far more evolved than we were in 1450, but we have to see ourselves as part of a larger unfolding. And this idea that like, if we pin our hopes and dreams on this idea that there is going to be a utopia, I think we actually miss the mark. And I think we miss our own granular growth.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, we also have to take stock of how much we are changing and how much the 60s did change things, you know, especially let's say for women. And then, you know, so much didn't get healed in terms of civil rights in America. So we're pushing that next envelope forward. And it's like, we are growing, we are expanding, but I think it's dangerous when we, with anything, with it, it becomes cult-like when we're like, no, we're going to wake up and everything is going to be okay. And it's like, no, how does it feel to actually do the heavy lifting of the continual work and what, walking the walk?
Yeah. And I think that that's something I'd like to ask you, you know, what the skies say about this next year in terms of healing. You know, I think in some ways, people are just like, once we get the vaccine or whatever is going to offer some reprieve in this strange time, then things will start to normalize. But the reality is that, you know, people haven't seen their families. People don't know how to coexist socially in certain ways. Like, how is this next year going to present its own challenges in terms of getting back to a new normal? Or maybe it's not getting back to a place, but adapting with this as now part of our journey. This is now, this is our World War II. This is our Holocaust. This is our, you know, where were you when? And we will all now be able to speak to this as just a massive massacre of not only human beings, but of hope and heart.
So I think, honestly, it takes decades to metabolize an event like this. And it's the whole, where were you? For sure, where were you the day Kennedy was shot? Neither you nor I was alive, but anybody who was knows exactly where they were when Kennedy was shot, right? So 9/11, you know, the thing that I think is interesting in terms of 9/11 is that eclipses occur on 19-year cycles. So the last time we were in the Gemini Sag eclipses was 9/11 fell between those. So when I think about 9/11, I think there was the loss of 3,000 plus lives. Yes. But we still take off our shoes when we get on a plane, right? When we get back on a plane, we're still going to be taking off our shoes. We're still not going to be able to take a bottle of water on the plane. That's a result of 9/11, right? So it's this kind of new reality. And then, you know, in terms of how we relate to just our world, it's like, you now live in Idaho. I'm in New Zealand. It's like, it's people's lives. It was sped up by this event, right? So people who had been wanting to move or thinking about moving, they moved. People, they fast-tracked relationships or they fast-tracked the end of relationships, right? So I think that it's a little Pollyanna to think that there's going to be like a mass healing. But what I do think there's going to be is an integration. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, a vaccine is coming, no matter where you fall in the vaccine thing. And that's not me like taking a stand. That's saying like,
yeah, this is happening.
I'm not a doctor. That's not my, yeah, right. There is a vaccine. There is going to be a vaccine rollout. So it's like, and that is going to then change the state of travel and the opening up of travel and all of these things. My sister just got news that there's going to be no business travel for her company until June of 2021. So, you know, we're looking at continued integration of what's occurred and the, you know, the changes in our own personal lives and how we related to what happened and how we are relating to what happened and where we're living as a result and who we're coupled with or not coupled with as a result, who we've lost as a result.
Yep.
You know?
And things that you never thought would happen are happening. And this is why it's so much easier than it ever was for me to tune in to this type of a conversation. Now, I was a believer of, you know, astrology and and Lord knows I have felt things and presences of grandparents and these types of things throughout my life. But I, to your point, this fast track and this loss of control, you know, I didn't, coming to terms with who I am is a very different conversation now. I am someone that left a city like Los Angeles that in some ways I hid behind because it was, it spoke for itself. And so anything that I didn't have in my life, marriage for a while, a child for a while, I could hide behind the veil of LA as like, I'm busy doing work here, guys. Then I'll get, you know, to that when I can.
Yeah.
And the psychological veil of what that city provided, I think, for so many people. And then to the conversation that you and I had before we pressed record, how quickly the life was sucked out of that city and the energy that we all loved and fed off of was was just wiped clean. Now it's like I have to reconcile that I'm someone that lives in Idaho. But what does that mean? And Idaho's lovely, but how are the constructs of that being formed? And and so if I can start to unpack this part of myself and this experience, this engagement that I have had over the last year with things that I never thought would happen, then it opens the door for other types of wonder and other types of just curiosity and dependence on, you know, on considering the unknown. You know,
I mean, I think that's so beautifully said. I've never heard anyone phrase it quite that way or put it quite that way, but that kind of psychological veil or hiding behind and that kind of exposure. And I think that's certainly being felt by a lot of people, just the kind of rawness. And it's like we're being stripped of our pretense, which is very much has been this kind of Capricorn energy. It's like, who are we without these status symbols, right? So if you live in Los Angeles, interestingly though, Boise is like, I think it's the number one fastest growing city in America right now. Like there is a mass exodus to Boise. So, you know, it's interesting because it's like, you're also on the cusp of something. And I think there's been this trend in America, at least, of people moving out of the bigger cities and into, these kind of like second tier. I don't mean second tier, like they're less, they're just less global.
Yeah.
They're more, American. Like Pittsburgh or Boise or even Austin or Denver,
yes.
You know, these cities are blowing up, Portland. And I think that speaks to all of this, like the panache, or that, is that the right word? The kind of glamour. You know, I remember my spiritual teacher saying once, like one of the biggest addictions we have in modern society is the glamour addiction. And it's like, it's glamorous to live in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
And who are we without that? And I think that it's, but this is all important, you know, it's all important work because it's like, we're, because of social media, we've become to be over-identified with these external markers. And that is not spirituality. Spirituality at the core is surrender, the mystery, letting go, recognizing your souls, having a human experience, that we are ultimately ephemeral, that we are in a body, that experience is temporal, that we are not here indefinitely, and that our minds and our bodies are in service to our heart, in service to our presence here. And like, what are we going to do with that? And I think that, you know, what's been occurring in my lifetime, so I just turned 40. So over the 40 years in America, there has been part of this giant divide that we have in America between blue and red is this kind of conversation of like, what are the values? Are they globalized? Are they localized? You know, and it's like, there's much to learn from both. But, you know, I'm a huge traveler. I love to travel. And I was just, it's the most obvious thing, but we were sitting at a cafe the other day, and I, you know, just turned to my partner and I was like, everybody just wants the same thing around the globe. Everybody is mating, procreating, like, you know, wants to be with people they love, whether they're having a chai or, you know, a chai in India or a tea, you know, high tea in England, or, you know what I mean? It's just like everybody wants to gather around food and love one another. And it's just, we have these beautiful rituals, and that's the beauty of globalization, is we see like, oh, I can learn from that ritual and I can learn from that ritual. But I think having a sense of place is also really important, and having a sense of belonging. And I think we're straddling those two.
Yeah.
And we're not really having that conversation in a mature way. We're having it in a very immature way.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yes. And I think we're straddling quite a bit. You know, I think there's so much good that can come from social media, and we've seen it over the last year.
Yes.
What happens,
yes,
when the collective stands up and shrieks and demands? And how can I say what I'm about to say? You know, I think a lot of people will be like, will tell me that I'm wrong, but there is a massive part of me, mm-hmm, that despite all the change and everything that has happened to our world, which should have happened, and I wouldn't change anything for it happening, but I'm just not sure that we can get where we need to get spiritually with social media. I just don't know how we can have that silence and that processing and that intimate relationship with ourselves if we are constantly giving captions and over-identifying and over and giving meaning to everything that just used to be something you would eat. Or you would,
yeah,
cry and you wouldn't broadcast it. You know, I have, this is maybe me just being a fuddy-duddy because I'm going to be 40 in February. And, mm-hmm, you know, we've spent half of our lives online and half of our lives playing, yeah, outside and creating our own fun. But I just, I can't fully surrender to what is happening in the world because it used to be simpler and it used to be better in a certain way.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of it that's just empty calories. And like, it's just, yes, there are conversations happening and there are people who are able to reach, you know, other people in, you know, corners of the world or the country that didn't feel seen or heard. So all of that is necessary, but it's all, again, these like fractals. And then we take that to be the whole truth. And I think I wonder with the North Node in Gemini, if that's part of the continued breakdown into these, all these tiny bits, so that we can then move into North Node in Taurus and start to build something concrete and whole. Like maybe that's part of the breakdown that's necessary, is like, I keep thinking to like, you know, pre-Civil War in America. So like the 1850s, when people just read the newspaper that had their point of view. It was before television, before Walter Cronkite in like the 60s, you know, 50s and 60s, that like you gathered in all of the same narrative. And I know there's pushback against that too. It's like, it's all true, you know? And yep. I think that's the problem. Is like, I also think the problem is that we are literally just consuming too much information
yes.
too quickly.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that I love, one of my great pleasures in life is reading novels. I love to read literature. I love to read, like do a deep dive, because it feels satiating. It's soul food, right? Watching a film, like we rewatched The Green Mile the other night, which is like, I mean, that like, yes, yes, more of that storytelling, please. Like it was just soul food. And it's like, you know, a post on social media is never going to really get at us the way that a narrative piece is, you know, whether fiction or nonfiction or like long form journalism.
Yep.
Like long form journalism is so important to the integrity of, you know, our justice system, to the idea that like truth prevails and it comes out. Like these things are really important. And I think that we've just, everything is Twitter-fied. Everything is just, it's just a snippet.
Yep.
And, but part of me thinks like that needs to happen. And then we need to realize just how lacking that is in terms of actually being soul food. It's necessary.
Yes.
I think it is necessary in a way, because there is something about the idea that everybody can have their voice heard. But the thing is with like the social dilemma, it's all just becomes niche.
Yeah. And I think
there's no actual narrative.
I think that that is a way to look at it, at least for me. And that's how I've stomached it is, you know, I'm in a free world on Instagram. Nobody's holding a gun to my head telling me that I need to post something. That's me and my FOMO. That's me and my narrative that will Skin Owl be forgotten if I don't post today? Or will I be, am I doing the best that I can as an entrepreneur or as a podcast host if I'm not posting? Well, then I will get, you know, and this is all inaccurate narrative, but this is the insecurity that is bred on this type of content pushing platform where there's so much content constantly being pushed to you that you also feel like you need to be pushing the constant content. And so, you know, it's I am in charge of my own mental well-being on that platform, for example, to sign on when it's good for me, to sign off and do the long form journalism and read a full 20-page article in the, you know, in the New Yorker if I want to. But it comes down to that discipline and those boundaries and that sturdiness.
Yes. And I'm all about personal responsibility, but you are being addicted to something. There are scientists who have spent hours and days and months and years addicting you to this platform. So I think that it's like, that's the pushback that we're going to see. Like you, not just Skin Owl, like you are the product. I am the product.
Yep.
And you know, I think that Instagram, it just seems to me like it's turning into just a shopping platform, which is part of why I created this version 2.0, which is just literally a community that it doesn't have as much of that energy. But I think that it's just turning into, it's like, you know, if you walk through a farmer's market that crafts are sold at, it's like that, right? So the same thing is like, you're a small business, you're able to get your product out there. That's the positive side of it. But the flip side of that is like, oh, so that person's doing it, that person's doing it. And so your mind goes like, whoa, how do I stay relevant? But the truth is like, that's always the way it's been. that like you had these niche markets. It's just because it's in your face. Whereas like, it's basically saying like, okay, you're going to walk through 40,000 40,000 farmers markets simultaneously.
Yes.
Like how much is that for the mind to take in? It's like, it's just, I can't.
But no wonder it's addictive because all of those farmer markets have actually been algorithmed to be the exact farmer's market that you want to walk through. So I'm walking in the farmer's market because it's all bell peppers and cucumbers and there's no eggplants. There are no eggplants in sight because I've told the farmer's market that I don't like eggplant. And it's like, how can you not? How can you not be on there for 40 hours in a 24-hour day?
Yeah, but that's why like everything on social media, design-wise, I was like, all I'm seeing, my friend called it like, my friend designer Anna LaBelle called it like, it's all just white with a cactus. And it's like, was that all I was clicking? And then it's like, oh wait, I actually love like plush velvets. I like looking at these different, let's get it a little bit more interesting because I'm literally... Every hotel, every design I'm getting is exactly that.
Oh my
God. And it's like, you know, I think it's so important that we look at things and we are confronted with different realities, right? So like, I think that, and that's just, it's happening across the board. And so maybe, like I said, it needs to happen so that we realize, wait a second, I don't like being in my own Truman Show. This is actually not that fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like Wally, you know, on a forever airplane with a diet soda, watching TV all day. I want to have my feet in the grass and I want to meet people who are, you know, challenge the way I think. And I want to have lively conversations and I, you know, want to continue to grow and not just be fed what I already believe.
Well, this is why what you have created almost feels like the trailblazing start to that. So instead of having this mass medium where everybody can kind of be manipulated and, and you know, of course there's joy and wonderful sharing and wonderful interactions and friendships. I'm not saying it's all bad, but as a result of also the icky side of that and the, I don't feel like I'm in the driver's seat or at least definitely not in the, you know, managing the wheel. There are people then out there, such as yourself, creating these sub communities where if you do have an interest, if you do have a focus in, you know, for in your way for growth and healing and expansion and astrology and self-realization and all of these things, then you can come and be a part of my microcosm. And that is why the Cosmic Compass is like, It is trailblazing in the sense that you are creating a sub community after finding, you know, a large part of your community on that initial platform. And people are just kind of going out and finding something that feels better.
100%. And I'm very grateful that I was able to build a business through, you know, so these things are layered and complex. And I will say, I think it's also important, like, come into my community, but that doesn't preclude you from joining other communities. Right. Just like, you know, you may go into one coffee shop, but you also may go into another coffee shop or another one. You don't have to eat at the same restaurant every single time. But I think bring that then, like bring that conversation or, you know, another astrologer's approach is different because we all bring our own. So it's like, I like having that conversation and I like, I think there's something fulfilling in that. And I, you know, part of the thing that's really interesting for being here in New Zealand is I feel like I can have a kind of step back or a wide angle lens because I'm not feeling the intensity of the energy that I was in California. And so it's an interesting vantage point because I know it, I was in it, you know, through the whole first wave and all of that. And it's my home and it's my roots. So I understand it. And there's something interesting. I feel like I'm continuing to grow and expand by putting myself out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
And my intention here is to walk the walk and like, you know, letting go of an attachment of like, we need to settle here. We're exploring it all. And I'm learning and I'm out of my comfort zone. You know, I'm in a small, today we're moving a lot, but in a small surf town, his hometown on the west coast of New Zealand, it's like, I'm learning things. I'm growing things. I'm learning about, you know, farming. That's something I don't know. I'm starting to learn about soil and all of that. And I think it's important to keep oneself in whatever way we can in environments that challenge us, not in a way that makes us bananas, but to say like, oh, right. Like there's more that I don't know than I do.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
And that will keep us humble in the best way that's necessary for this Aquarian energy to really take hold. You know, I contribute my voice, but I recognize that I am not the only voice, nor should I be the only voice.
Absolutely. I think if someone, you know, is looking for, is already, you know, subscribed to you and following you, what would be the reason that someone would sign up? What can someone expect from, okay, you know what, I feel like I need something in my life, this membership, I want a new community, I want to dip my toes in something that I don't know much about. I mean, there's a million reasons, I think, why someone could actually join the Cosmic Compass, especially this year. What can someone expect from that membership if they were to sign up?
Well, we're doing a 7-day free trial. So that's, you know, you can explore it and see if it works for you. And I still have people on the old platform who are kind of slowly migrating over as that completes. But, you know, what I love about this new platform is that it's conversational. So people can post questions, I'll answer, other people will answer. You can stay, you know, on the sidelines if you want. But inclusive of it is the intro to Astro Course. So you can learn astrology as I continue to post things. You can go and kind of see, oh, that's what she means. That's what she means. There's also my meditations that from the Art of Alignment, which is all about chakra realignment. And you know, it's not static because the cosmos are dynamic and ever shifting. I'm continually addressing that, but it's not me talking at, this is much more Gemini. This is much more conversational. It's much more dialogue driven. And it's how to really bring this stuff alive in the everyday, in the mundane, but then also kind of through our overarching themes.
I love that. I am going to do, I'm actually like on the website now on the sidebar, just clicking on the 7-day free trial because I'm so interested in this, but I never take the leap. And I think that it has to be like staring right in front of me. And I'm not one to like web surf, to be honest, and like find the thing, even if I desperately need it. So for obviously anybody listening, we're putting the link obviously to Dani's website. Cosmic Compass is obviously a microsite through her main Dani. I always want to say Daniel Beinstein, but I feel like it's Beinstein.
That's right.
Okay.
No,
Beinstein.
You're right. It's Beinstein.
Okay, because in my head, I'm saying you're saying it wrong because I had a friend.
No, you're saying right.
In Hebrew school as a kid, who was whatever, Sarah Beinstein. So now I'm like this, I'm fucking it up. I'm not doing it right, but I thank you for saying that I am. Okay. So we'll share all the links to this, but if you go to Danielle's website, you can click on Cosmic Compass from there and then you can choose a plan. There's a beautiful video. She walks you through kind of what the membership looks like. And she's a part of the journey with you. So it's awesome. I could talk to you for hours. I want to just end with this last question because I think it has a lot of power. But in looking, it's December 21st when this airs.
Oh, perfect. That's the great conjunction. That's the day. So as you're listening to this, if you're listening on the day it airs, it's the great conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter and in Aquarius. So it is literally the energetic portal to this new energy.
That kind of is in line.
I just said energetic portal to new energy, but you know what I meant, right?
Yes.
Energetic portal.
Yes. I think that it's important to have a send-off, you know, like what if you could leave the listeners with something as we close out 1 year and enter anew, what would it be?
What is the narrative and story you want to write for what's transpired and how you want to show up moving forward? Because there is a degree of personal responsibility here in terms of how we want to navigate all of this. And I think it's continued empathy and compassion for ourselves and for others and continued exploration of our own operating systems. Like we're just learning more about ourselves. Oh, how do I respond when that feels out of my control? How do I respond? You know, it's paying attention. So I would say mindfulness, you know, the awareness.
Yep. I love that. And that is, talking about portals, that is the portal for so much more. Yeah. When that is in line, then the whole world opens itself up to you and you feel the sun shining on you when you have that awareness, because you know your purpose and you know what is worth walking towards and what isn't. So, you know, as I'm talking to you, I just realized how much I love this gig. Like, I really, I'm deciding so, you know, I'm reconciling so much about the career that I've chosen and the stress that comes with it, and how I've had to pivot so much over this last year, as we all have. And, you know, it's conversations like these and it's relationships like the one I have with you, where it's like, this is the best, you know, it's so awesome to be able to share these conversations and this type of influence with people. And I'm just so grateful to know you. And I'm so grateful to have these conversations and to be on the other end of your mind, because it is truly a beautiful thing. And I'm so happy for you. And I say this with love for Los Angeles. And I say this on behalf of both of our chapters there, but I'm just so happy that you have found a place where you can breathe and your, you know, your skills can expand. And you can put a little bit more air in your balloon, so to speak. And I truly wish you nothing but the best that life has to offer in this next year.
Right back at you. And I just, you know, you are so gifted as an interviewer, and you have such an eloquent way of speaking, and you're so hyper articulate. It's just an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
That means so much coming from you. Thank you so much. I want to have people who maybe are just meeting you for the first time as a result of this episode to know where they can voyeur you from now on. Can you give us all the links, all the Instagrams?
Yes.
Like, how can we bother you more?
So at Dani Beinstein is my IG handle. Danielle Beinstein is my website. Cosmic Compass is on there. And it's really just through those two portals. And you can join Cosmic Compass, or you can buy the courses a la carte, or you can sign up with a session with me.
Absolutely. I love all of that. And we'll share all of that in the show notes. So you guys don't need to go far. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher, it's all in there. All the links are there. This is obviously Dani week. So we're going to be sharing all the audiograms and favorite moments from this episode throughout the week, and really highlighting the importance of this conversation, because it is so timely and so relevant and so important. So, with that, for those of you guys listening, as always, if you love this episode, give us a 5-star rating, give us a review, let us know what you'd like to hear more of in the future. If you want Dani to come back, we would love to have her come back, as her story is ever changing and ever growing. So put that on your docket. If you ever have more free time, we'd love to have you back on Off the Record. And hopefully we can one day do it in person again, should our paths cross. Yes. But I appreciate you so much. And thank you for your mind and your wisdom. And again, I wish you nothing but the best.
It's my absolute pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you. And Dani appreciates you. And we'll see you next week on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And be sure to follow us at Off the Record with you on Instagram, or at Skin Owl. And I'm on the other end of both of those IGs. So feel free to send your questions, DM us, all the love notes, and we will tune in next week on Off the Record. Thank you guys so much for listening. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips, cause I can't say I've got what I would do. Off the record with you.